Well, thank you all for coming here today. My name is Carl Powell. I'm from Eastern Michigan University outside of Detroit, the town whose football team will turn professional next year. Thank you for laughing at that. We're here today for the presentation, in case those of you can't read the really big letters up there, Reshaping Information Services for Students of the iGeneration. This is evidence and insights from the MISO survey. A variety of insightful questions you'll have answered today. One I wanted answered, but they said they can't help me with, is how come dogs enjoy sticking their head out your car window, but they get upset when you blow in their face?
Wait, don't you have data on that?
It's just, yeah, next year's survey, it'll be a question. So as part of the presenters today, we have, starting on this end, David Consiglio, who is the head of research support and educational technology at Bryn Mawr College in Pennsylvania. We have Kevin Creamer, who is the director for Center for Teaching, Learning, and Technology at the University of Richmond in Virginia, and Josh Wilson, who is the director for integrated services at Brandeis University in Massachusetts. They just, all three of them came off of a very successful book tour. They were touting two books. One was for budding ventriloquist assistants called An Idiot's Guide for Dummies. But the most successful, it'll take you a second, it'll catch up to it. But the most successful one I liked in these troubling financial times is how they turned $1 million in real estate into $20 cash. So with no further, come on, people. We just had lunch. So with no further ado, I'll turn it over to Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you. And thank you all for coming today. In addition to the three of us here, there are two other people on the MISO team who are not presenting today. Laurie Allen is the coordinator for research, instruction, and outreach at Haverford, and Neil Baker is the humanities and languages librarian at Earlham. So I wanted to give them credit because a lot of the work that is here is theirs as well. What we're going to cover today is an overview of how students perceive library and IT services, with some specific insights that dig a little deeper than the overall trends. And I want to start out by saying in a January article in the New York Times, Brad Stone was saying that some researchers theorize that the ever-accelerating pace of technological change may be minting a series of mini-generation gaps, with each group of children uniquely influenced by the tech tools available in their formative stages of development. This is a visualization that illustrates that increasing rate of change that we're all facing. It's taken from a book, Rewired, Understanding the iGeneration and the Way They Learn, by Larry Rosen. Each bar represents how long it took for that technology to cross the 50 million user mark. Radio took 38 years, and telephone took just 20 years to reach 50 million. The World Wide Web, IM, and iPods all took just 4 years to reach 50 million. MySpace was 2.5 years, and YouTube hit 50 million users in just 1 year. This is, in a way, another manifestation of the accelerating change that Gary Hamel described in his talk yesterday. The changes that we're seeing are coming faster and faster. Lee Rainey, director of the Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project, has said that people 2, 3, or 4 years apart are having completely different experiences with technology. College students scratch their heads at what their high school siblings are doing, and they scratch their heads at what their younger siblings. It has sped up generational differences. Stone goes on to suggest that younger generations are going to have some very peculiar and unique expectations about the world. This means that in addition to ongoing budget challenges, the expanding information technology needs of administrative departments, and to the growing infrastructure demands of faculty, all of us face constantly changing expectations from our students about the resources and services we provide. In this session, we're going to get an overview of today's undergraduates, understanding from a quantitative perspective what they use most frequently, what's most important, and what's most satisfying about the resources we provide. We'll then take a deeper look in the data to find three stories about what the data has to say and what you may want to consider as you wrap up your week here in Anaheim and return to campus. Let's start by setting a little context about the MISO survey itself. The survey was initiated by Dave Consiglio at Bryn Mawr College as a way of measuring the effectiveness of library and IT services and resources. The instrument was designed by Dave along with library and IT collaborators from Bates, Middlebury, Richmond, and Wellesley. Today, the team's members are from Bryn Mawr, Brandeis, Earlham, Haverford, and Richmond. The survey is administered in the spring term each year, and the primary focus of the survey is to understand the perceptions of students, faculty, and staff. The survey can be administered to special populations at individual campuses, though those results are not represented in the analysis done at a national level. In addition to asking a broad array of questions, the survey allows institutions to add local questions, making the instrument an effective tool for gathering actionable information. We have had 18,000 undergraduate students, 10,000 faculty, and 15,000 staff participants since 2005. Our survey methodology, we're proud of this, has yielded high response rates. For 2010, our student response rates across all participating schools was 45%. Faculty and staff response rates were both around 50%. And MISO stands for Measuring Information Services Outcomes, in case anybody's wondering that. This is a wordle of the institutions that have participated since the survey was created in 2005. The size of each institution's name represents how many times they have administered the survey. The larger the name, the more frequently they've participated. With our 2010 survey cycle, we had a number of institutions participating for the third time in the survey, some for the fourth time, which really adds to our longitudinal data. It's a total of 38 schools through 2010, with 8 new institutions joining 10 returning institutions for our 2011 survey cohort, which is just now getting underway. And here's a list of the things that the MISO survey measures. I'll just kind of let you look at that list. I want to restate that today's focus is going to be on students, not the faculty or staff populations that we also survey. We're also focusing on primarily the services and resources, the first item there. Though other parts of the survey, like student skills and interest in learning, are interesting in their own right. Let's look first at the scales for frequency of use, importance, and satisfaction. Frequency of use is on a 5-point scale. It's worth noting that the scale is not linear. The difference between a mean response of a 2, which is once or twice a semester, to that of a 3, 1 to 3 times a month, is actually a factor of 4 in terms of frequency. Importance and satisfaction scales are linear. You'll notice that our importance scale scores important as a 3.0 and very important as a 4, while on the satisfaction scale, we see the same numeric means represent somewhat satisfied and satisfied respectively. The scales are internally consistent. While it makes sense that our constituents would want to tell us that something is very important, it's not as likely that we would see responses of very satisfied, I think of faculty in particular there. In reporting the current benchmarks for our resources and services, the MISO survey team has found it useful to talk about the top areas in terms of these three measures by looking at items where the mean response is a 3.5 or above. So if you kind of look between the 3 and the 4, we'll be looking from in between there and up on the scale. So let's get specific about what we measure. The question that's asked in the survey is, over the course of a semester, on average, how often do you use the following services? The items that you see listed here are in descending order in terms of their means. So the most frequent is at the top through to, again, these are the top items in terms of frequency of use. These results are hopefully not too surprising to you. What's interesting to note is that none of the items are services from the student perspective. You have information systems like the course management system and the ERP self-service. You see infrastructure in the wireless access item. And a number of things about learning spaces, public computers in the library, campus computing labs, quiet workspace in the library, and technology and meeting spaces in classrooms. Of course, higher use or higher frequency of use is not always desirable. It's not necessarily a good sign if your help desk is getting used more frequently. And that's why we turn to importance to better understand the perceptions of our students. Importance measures some things where frequency of use doesn't quite work, things like network speed and network stability. We also have capstone questions like the overall computing service and the overall library service that are asked towards the end of the questions. And the specific question asked in the survey is, how important are these services to you? What we say here are items with a 3.5 or higher mean response across the most recent responses, and the most recent are of all the institutions that have participated in the survey from 2008 to the present. This is the most recent response from those schools. We see two items, public computers in the library and the course management system. These were on the preceding slide, so they're both among the most frequently used, but they're also considered to be most important. Other observations we see here, infrastructure items, network speed and stability, wireless access and virus protection, communications with email services. Space shows up, public computing in the library. Information system is the course management system. And then we do have those capstone questions with the overall services. Once again, looking at this list of items, we're seeing primarily a list of resources and not services. Just to give you a sense of the breadth of responses that we received, kind of to give you a sense of what's at the bottom of the scale in terms of importance. The bottom of the scale is right around a 2.0. We have a couple of things above, a couple of things below, and just to give you a sense of what those are, campus phone services and campus phone support are just above a 2.0, where residence hall phone service and video conferencing in terms of importance for students are below that mark. For satisfaction, the things that are most satisfying to students, the question in the survey is how dissatisfied or satisfied are you with the following resources and services? And again, these are items where we have a score of over 3.5. Some things to note. There are more highly important items than those frequently used. If you go back here, the number of items that we're seeing on the slides, we go from use, we see a few more items when we get to importance, and finally we get to satisfaction, and we see many more items here. These items were, there are also a few items here that were listed among the most important resources. Overall library service is one of them. And then two items that have actually come through the thread of from most frequently used to most important and finally to highest satisfaction are the course management system and public computers in the library. Out of the 21 areas that you're looking at here, 16 are clearly related to the library. Of those that remain, some, like the course management system, are indirectly related. Depending on how things are set up from campus to campus, things like borrowing laptops and technology equipment, and even technology in meeting spaces and classrooms could be associated with the library. Here we do see, for the first time, services showing up. There's high satisfaction with circulation, with reference, ILL, and the help desk. We do see resources as well with borrowing materials, library databases, the course management system, and the library catalog. Satisfaction overall across all the items that we measure in the survey is good. There were only four items that were around or below a 3.0, and they're all related to infrastructure, and they're probably not too big of a surprise. Wireless availability, network stability, network speed, and wireless performance are the four items at the bottom of the satisfaction scale across all schools. At this point, we've established where we are in terms of how students perceive our resources and services. What we're going to do next is to take a look at the trends to see how things are moving over time. In the interest of time, I'm going to pass on a discussion of use trends. While these are interesting to consider, we found that the importance and satisfaction trends are usually of greater interest. So now that we're looking at trends, what's measured here on this chart is the average annual change in importance for these services and resources. And what we're looking at right now are things that are increasing. We'll look at decreasing in just a moment. But to put this in perspective, something that's moving one-tenth on average each year is moving by half a point over 5 years, which is tremendous when you're working on a four-point scale. Some observations about the things that we're seeing in the trends. Many of these items are direct access, wireless access, digital image collections, the course management system, ERP self-service, and library databases. A few noteworthy exceptions include two explicitly mediated services, library research instruction for academic courses and technology instruction for academic courses. These two services provide instruction, though, on how to do things for yourself. So in a way, these align with the do-it-yourself direct access preference that we're seeing across the remaining areas that are increasing in performance. Depending on how the service is provided and how it's perceived, ILL may be considered by students to be a human-mediated service, but it's more likely that the service is perceived to be an automated information retrieval process. We also see that quiet workspace in the library is increasing in importance. Earlier, we saw that public computers in the library are already very important to students. That resource is consistently high and is not trending up or down. As quiet workspace becomes more important, it's a call to focus on the library as a place for students. What's getting less important? Fewer things, which is good. What's interesting to note, of course, the big line at the bottom there, residence hall phone service is plummeting. And just to restate what I was saying on the last slide, we're looking at the average annual change for this service. So over the 5 years of the MISO survey, this service has dropped close to 1.5 points on a 4-point scale in importance for students. The remaining items are all declining slightly, especially in comparison each year. Campus computing labs are dropping in importance, perhaps as student laptop ownership continues to increase. For the help desk to be the one mediated service that's dropping in importance, it's an indication of at least two possibilities. First, that students are having fewer computer problems, which is good. Second, that students prefer to solve problems on their own through internet searches and the like, which may also be a good thing. Finally, the library website is dropping in importance. While the library sites can vary from school to school, this drop may mean that students are going directly to online catalogs and databases and bypassing information that's primarily about the library itself. Turning to things that are increasing in satisfaction for students, we once again see a crowded list. Observations about all of this. While the importance trends were changing by as much as 0.3 points per year, changes in satisfaction are less dramatic. We've kept the scale here the same as what you were looking at on the slide so that you can see by comparison that this is less of a change year by year. A few items here are related to communication, input into computing and library decisions, and status information about computing problems. We also see a number of infrastructure items here, wireless availability, spam filtering, virus protection, borrowing laptops and technology equipment, and wireless performance. And there are some mediated services, technology instruction for academic courses, help desk, and ILL. Decreasing in satisfaction, once again, we see few things. That's always good to see. But what we see are network performance, speed and stability, and residence hall phone service. It's dropping in importance. Students are also becoming less satisfied with this service. And like the phone service, campus computing labs are dropping not only in importance, but also satisfaction. If we juxtapose the perceived changes in importance over time with changes in satisfaction over time, we have a quadrant view that informs actions that might be taken with regard to these resources and services. It's worth noting that we're only covering items here that have both importance and satisfaction trends. So if it was trending in importance or if it was only trending in satisfaction, we've dropped those off the list. We're really looking at things that are moving in both directions. It's encouraging to see so many items in the upper right quadrant, where items are increasing not only in importance but also satisfaction. It's a good story. We're doing well, but we should be careful to reinforce these things to keep the momentum going. Moving clockwise, we see that the help desk is becoming less important, but that students continue to be increasingly satisfied with the service. Like the upper right quadrant, any increase in satisfaction is good. But unlike the upper right quadrant, you may want to investigate student perceptions of the help desk further to determine whether the service can be reconfigured to increase its perceived importance, or if there are opportunities to reduce costs without damaging service satisfaction. Continuing on, there are two items in the lower left-hand quadrant, that is the quadrant where things are both less important and less satisfying. We see campus computing labs, and literally off the chart to the right is residence hall phone services. In both cases, institutions should study and reconsider these services, which are fading in value to our students. The path for residence hall phone services may be clear, but CIOs should think about alternatives to campus computing labs, focusing perhaps on computing in the library or delivery of specialized software through desktop virtualization. Finally, it is nice to see that there is nothing to be found in the upper left quadrant where importance is growing but satisfaction is decreasing. Anything in this quadrant would be an immediate call to action. As it is, we're able to focus on reinforcing, reconfiguring, or reconsidering what we do see here. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Josh, who's going to share three slightly more in-depth stories.
So as Kevin said, I'd like to continue here with three stories that look even more deeply at the results from the MISO survey. I'd like to start with a story that's about three pairs of related trends. We call this story crossing over. The first two of the stories that I'm going to tell you will be all about the trends, a deeper look at the trends you've just seen. The final story will be something a little bit different to send you home. So this story, the crossing over story, looks at three pairs of related trends. And in each of these pairs, one of the trends is more important to undergraduates and another is less important. But in the near future, in the coming few years, the relative importance of the services in each pair will be reversed. So this change is going to say a great deal about our students, and it's going to give us a whole lot to think about regarding service delivery in the future. So let's look at the first of these pairs of services. This slide juxtaposes importance trends for help desk and the computing website. So I didn't mention these are pairs of importance trends we'll be looking at. So note that on this slide, as with the two that follow, you're going to see data collected since 2005 at the left of the chart and a dotted line at the right that represents our projection into the future. So here we see the importance of the help desk is dropping while the importance of the computing website is on the rise. In 2014, we project, the two trends will cross over and students will view the self-service computing website to be more important than the venerated, high-touch, often busy help desk. This crossover is really notable. It indicates to us that students don't want to need us. They'd much rather be empowered with tools and information so that they can solve their own computing problems. Let's take a look now at the second pair of trends. This pair of trends has to do with research services. We have library reference services and also library research instruction. These are two very different services than the two before, but the crossover is very instructive as well. So we see the importance of library reference services remaining constant, but the importance of library research instruction moving upward across all schools. Once again, in 2014, we project this crossover will happen, and research instruction is going to become more important to students than library reference. We see here again students wanting to be empowered rather than helped. Research instruction enables students to be able to expand their own disciplinary knowledge on their own without needing just-in-time help from our staff members. Let's turn now to a final pair of services that sheds a little bit of light on the future of the public computing resources on our campus. Here we'll look at public computing in the library and campus computing labs, public computing that's elsewhere on campus away from the library. So it's important to note here that we've been measuring the importance of campus computing labs since the survey's inception in 2005. On the other hand, we've only been gathering data about public computing in the library since a revision to the survey in 2008. But nonetheless, what do we see here? We see that although the importance of public computing in the library remains high, the importance of public computing elsewhere on campus is dropping. And this is a little bit different from the other two sets of pairs, because this crossover actually happened in the past, and the gap between the two services continues to widen in the future. Here, instead of a story about empowerment, what we see is a story about the value of library as a key place for students on our campuses. In short, they'd much rather do their computing in the library than elsewhere. So what's the bottom line? What can you take away from this particular story? First, students want to be empowered to solve computing problems on their own and conduct their academic work on their own without needing to come to us for mediated help on a regular basis. Our services in these two areas have been built around really effective support, and we're good at it. But we need to transition to self-service approaches as well as take a renewed focus on instruction. Second, we need to maintain our focus on the library as a key place for students. Our services and our resources need to reflect this reality for students. Let's turn now to a second story that takes yet another look at the trends that we've been exploring. This is a story about accelerating change. And we'll look here at how a student's class year, for example, their status as a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, or a senior, affects their views of service importance. And then we'll take a look at how the overall trends in service importance that Kevin described to us a few minutes ago reshape and accelerate the picture that we see. So first, let's take a look at the class year effect. So this slide shows the effect of class year alone on service importance. There are three things that I want to note here. First, these are the services for which class year matters. the ones about which students have different views of their importance because of class year. Number two, be aware that this slide represents the difference in importance over a student's academic career. You're seeing the difference between service importance for freshmen compared to seniors, for example. And finally, I want to note once again that this is purely the class year effect. What we've done in this analysis is to control for trends. So this is class year alone, not change over time. In a moment, we'll look at trends, change over time alone, controlling for class year. So what do we see as we look at the class year effect all by itself? Above the dotted line, about two-thirds of the way down on this plot, you'll see services with bars pointing to the right. These services are more important for more advanced students. So seniors consider them more important than juniors, who consider them more important than sophomores, who consider them more important than first years. Below the dotted line, you see services with bars pointing to the left. And these are services that are more important for our less advanced students. So first years consider them more important than sophomores, who consider them more important than juniors, etc. These results generally validate our anecdotal impressions about how students in different class years value our services. There's a variety of library services above the dotted line, led by library databases and interlibrary loan, that are more important to more advanced students than they are to less advanced students. And at a very basic level, this makes sense to us, because we've known for a long time anecdotally that as students become more specialized in their disciplines and more advanced in their studies, their scholarly work relies ever more heavily on library services such as these, in addition to the computing services that support their more specialized work. The services that are more important to less advanced students tend to be services that either provide basic instruction, instruction services, both technology instruction and library research instruction, services that cater to large or introductory courses, such as the course management system, and also, interestingly, wireless access. Wireless access falls in this group and is counterintuitive on the face of it because we've just heard how much the importance for wireless access is increasing. Bear with me on this one. The thing to remember here is that this is the effect of class year alone, and based upon this analysis, our less advanced students do find wireless access to be more important than our more advanced students. So overall, this is a pretty comforting picture. It tends to support the anecdotal impressions that we built up over time. But let's take a look now at global trends and see how this changes the picture that we're looking at. So this slide shows the very same services, and it shows global trends change over time for these services. There are a couple of these services here that don't have trends. They are completely flat over time. The online library catalog and the library website are two of those. But for the most part, these services have trends attached to them. And I want to note once again that these are trends alone. So we've controlled for the class year effect here. You're now seeing strictly change over time. So it is a very different picture, and it's not as clear or as straightforward a picture. But in general, we can see that most of these services are becoming more important over time. Above the dotted line, what you see is global changes that are mostly amplifying the class-based increases in importance for these services. There are two computing services, campus computing labs and the help desk, that are affected by downward trends in importance. Below the dotted line, those were services that were more important for our less advanced students. Here we see large global increases in importance over time for all students. So these increasing importance trends for all students will have a pretty dramatic effect on the class differences for those services that are below the dotted line. So let's take a look now at these two effects combined. What you see on this slide in blue is the class year effect. What you see on this slide in green is the global trend. And by putting these together, we get to see the net picture. We get to see the overall effect on importance for these services, looking both at change over time and at differences by class year. So as you can see, the trends have a pretty substantial impact on the changes due to class year alone. For services above the dotted line, the ones that were more important for more advanced students, the global effects tend to amplify the effect of class year. One notable exception is the campus computing labs. While the service still becomes more important to more advanced students, and that's the dominant effect, the overall downward trend in importance is pulling slightly in the reverse direction. For the services that were below the dotted line, the ones that were more important to our less advanced students, the global effect tends to suppress, or in some cases even reverse, the class effect. This is especially true for digital image collections, for wireless access, and for the course management system. Here we see a reversal of the class effect. For our two instruction services, for technology instruction and library research instruction, it's a slightly more nuanced picture. The overall upward trend in importance nearly eliminates the downward pointing class effect, but not quite. And this suggests to us that our instruction efforts should be focusing a bit more on upper division students as well as incoming students as this trend continues in the years to come. So let's take a look at the net effect. So when we put together class effect and change over time, what do we see? And it's certainly not the picture that we saw when we looked at class effect alone. So at its core, this story is one about accelerating change that requires our organizations to have a very, very nimble response. The services above the line are becoming more important, much more quickly than we expected. So we need to place even greater focus on delivering and enhancing those library and technology services that students need. The technology-driven services below the line are becoming more important to all classes, not just underclass students. The bottom line here is that we need to redouble our efforts to acquire, develop, and provide online library services that are even more content-rich, more usable, and more accessible. And we need to revisit our instruction programs and strongly consider whether to place a new focus on upper-class students. So let me turn now to story number three. And this third story doesn't look at trends. It instead takes a look at benchmarks. But it's an interesting story. This story resonates well whenever we tell it, so hopefully it'll play well in this room as well. So once upon a time, at a MISO institution far across the country, there was an open help desk position. And the college's IT staff, concerned about the help desk's relations with the campus community, wanted to be sure to hire a really friendly new staff member. And my guess is that they weren't alone in this view. It's my sense that most of us subscribe to the view that friendliness is a very important key to good service. But is it really? What we'd like to do in this story is to explore that idea just a bit. Just how much of service satisfaction can be explained by the service ethic of the staff? And how can we understand which aspects of service ethic, friendliness included, carry the most weight in explaining service satisfaction? So the MISO survey asks a series of questions that explore the service ethic of the staff members who deliver services such as desktop support, circulation services, reference services, and others. For each of these services, we ask survey respondents, students in this case, to rate four service attributes: reliability, responsiveness, knowledge, and friendliness. So we're going to look at three services in particular, because for these three, help desk, reference, and circulation services, MISO measures service satisfaction as well as service ethic. So we'll look right now at the relationships between measured satisfaction and measured service ethic. So first, let's look at each of these three services and see just how much of satisfaction can be explained by service ethic. So for the help desk, nearly 50% of service satisfaction can be explained by the work of the staff. That's actually a lot. That's a very great amount. For circulation and reference, about 20% can be explained. A bit more than that for reference and a little bit less for circulation. What this means for those two services, for reference and circulation, a great deal of the satisfaction of these services really has nothing to do with the efforts of the staff at all. There's some other effect or some other set of effects that we don't yet understand that really has a lot more to do with service satisfaction. But this is a story about friendliness, right? So let's see just how much of satisfaction friendliness explains. So interestingly, for all three services, friendliness is at the bottom of the heap, quite literally on this slide, in terms of its explanatory power. So for those of you in the back of the room, if you look at the blue section of each bar at the very, very bottom, that's friendliness. So for the help desk, friendliness explains less than 5% of service satisfaction. Instead, reliability tops the list for students, explaining nearly 15% of service satisfaction, followed by responsiveness and then by knowledge. For reference, friendliness explains less than 2% of service satisfaction. Knowledge explains the most, although perhaps that's not terribly surprising, followed closely by responsiveness and reliability. And finally, for circulation, friendliness explains nearly 3% of service satisfaction. Again, really not all that much. Reliability and responsiveness have just a bit more explanatory power. What's so surprising to me about reference in particular, I'll pick that one out of the slide just for a moment, is for a service that relies so heavily on an experienced staff and for a service that's so consultative in nature, it's fascinating how little of service satisfaction can be explained by the staff's service ethic at all, and really how little can be explained by knowledge. Just a little more than 6% of service satisfaction with library reference services is explained by knowledge, which is pretty striking. So what's the bottom line here? Friendliness isn't key to good service, according to this analysis, as far as students are concerned. It's really trumped by other attributes. So as long as our staff meet a certain minimum friendliness threshold, it's other things that carry the day. Students would rather have us be more responsive to their needs and deliver a more reliable service. So for all three of these services, especially the help desk, we believe that it's workflow improvements that we need to focus on in our organizations, as opposed to the friendliness or the overall demeanor of our staff. So let me close by offering you a couple of thoughts to bring this all together. It's our sense that the picture of students that we're painting here this afternoon resonates really strongly with the themes that Gary Hamel laid out yesterday morning. I want to leave you with just a few highlights from these national results and a few action items. Be aware also that the picture at your institution may be slightly different from this. It's our experience that schools do vary from the national picture, so keep a close eye on your own institution and your own data. Studying these services at your own institution really is a must, but this is really critical context as you leave Anaheim and go back to your campuses. So first, and I can't say this enough and I can't say it strongly enough, students value and rely upon the technology-driven, content-centric resources that we offer on our campuses. The level to which they value these services is surging, and we need to change accordingly. Students also need us to focus more on network infrastructure and performance. It's an area in which they need far more from us than we've been able to offer. Despite all that we do, they still need far more. And it's an area that's very, very fundamental to the way students choose to work. In addition, students are taking an approach to IT and library services that's far less reliant on the help and support services that we prided ourselves on for so long. Let me do it and get out of the way is what we believe these results are telling us. Give me the content, give me the bandwidth, give me the spaces, especially in the library, but also elsewhere, and give me the computing tools to work. Give me the instruction to do it on our own, to do it on my own, and let me get to it, they tell us, with minimal mediation. So what does all this mean for us? What are the action items that we propose to you? Here they are. Number one, deliver a campus network that's up to the demands of our students. So plan for regular refresh, fund the infrastructure adequately, make sure that it's an always-on, always-speedy resource. Number two, empower students with online resources and computing tools that work well and can be used without intervention from IT staff or library staff. Number three, empower students also with timely, effective instruction so that they've got the skills they need to thrive without needing to rely on us for help at every turn. Number four, focus on delivering library online services and study spaces that meet the needs of our students. Number five, streamline our core support services so that we can be there when students do need us while focusing our stretched resources on areas that students deliver more, that students need more. And finally, and I really implore you to do this when you go back to your campuses, continue studying the services that you deliver on your campuses because what's going on at home may or may not match what the national results suggest. And it's important to be able to tailor what you do to what you see around you in higher ed as well as to what you see on your campuses. So gather data at your institution as part of service delivery. Participate in surveys such as this survey or others. There are lots of them out there. Interrogate the data that you have. Act on it. That's the hardest part. Sometimes it's really easy to gather the data, but not to act on it. So I encourage you to do that as well. And really use the data that you have and the insights that you gathered from it to figure out what aspects of our efforts pay off the most and serve our students the best. So with that, I want to say thank you for being with us this afternoon. There's a lot more content about the MISO survey at misosurvey.org. And we have a little over 10 minutes, 10 or 12 minutes, to take your questions, to get your reactions. We're all very curious what you're seeing at your institutions, but we're happy to take any questions that you have for us. Well, we have turned, so at Brandeis alone, it's interesting. There are different pictures with regard to reference at each of the MISO institutions. Baylor, for example, sees increasing importance of reference services, whereas some of the other institutions see diminishing importance. So there is some diversity of opinion here. I can tell you that at some of our institutions, Brandeis included, we've staffed that service a little bit less of the day, and we struggle with that. It's an interesting niche service because at certain times of day, and especially at certain times of year, students use it a lot, but at other times not so much. So we're struggling to balance some of the other data that we gather about library reference services with what this analysis tells us.
One other thing that I'd add to that, if we were back on, and we don't have to jump back to it, but there was the crossover story where we were talking about research services, and on there you saw that reference was actually kind of going straight across. It's just below the 3.0. It's just below important, so it's not something to be discarded lightly. What we're seeing is that something else is on the rise in terms of research instruction for academic courses, and that perhaps along with the library liaison responsibilities that often the same people have simply mean that you may be reconfiguring your services. But again, it's different at every institution.
I'm gonna add to that a little bit. I recently had a chance to have a conversation with librarians about reference services, and it seems to be two camps. The one camp is we have to make them understand how important these services are, and so let's circle the wagons and figure out ways to make this work. And the other camp is succumbing to the trend and saying, okay, well, they're not as important as they used to be and other things are important, so let's figure out other ways that we can meet their needs. And so it's a really interesting dynamic that's happening out there. I can tell you that at Bryn Mawr, one of the things that we've done is we've cut back the number of hours that we're staffing the reference desk. Eventually, we may move to the point we don't staff the desk at all. But we're also seeing a dramatic increase in the number of reference librarians are going into the classroom and the instructors that want them there. So it's not that the reference work is diminished, it's just how it's delivered is changing.
Wow. So there's a general point to make about survey research, which is, and especially this survey. This survey is meant to look at these services at a very high level. So, but survey research in general, let's see how I do here. So, Dave is our survey methodologist, so I'll try to channel him for a moment. Survey research really surfaces what's going on as opposed to why it is. So we've from time to time offered you interpretations, but it's sometimes difficult to know as specifically as you'd like to know it, the answer to that question. It seems to me, anyway, that there is some interrelationship between the way these two different services are provided, but what that is hard to know from this analysis.
I can speak to a little bit of the why. About at Bryn Mawr College, we've moved more and more of our public computing into the library and less from the other parts of campus, and the public computing in the library has gone up in importance. So it's not necessarily about – so it would be hard to argue that it's about fewer people being around because we're getting a lot more traffic in the public spaces in the library. But that's just anecdotal. I can't say how it would be elsewhere.
Yeah, we've actually done something similar, and really the importance of public computing – campus-wide, it hasn't really changed from 2008 to 2010 at Brandeis. So it is a different picture everywhere. Other questions? Or, I don't know, do you want to chime in?
No.
Okay. Yes?
I do value your interpretation. So the whole friendliness piece, is it possible that students, because we communicate asynchronously more often now, that it's hard to measure friendliness? In that kind of world?
I think that's a great question. It's interesting. When we've done this analysis for faculty, the friendliness part is almost not there. It's even smaller than it is for students. And so we would think that faculty who are a little bit older and a little bit less likely to, who might value friendliness even more, don't have a value for it, it seems. But we have to be careful with when we're talking about this friendliness story. The numbers for friendliness are off the charts high across the board. We have a lot of really friendly people working at these places. And it's hard to say what would happen if we hired a bunch of jerks, quite frankly. You know, so, you know, if all of a sudden they started being – so basically what it looks to me is that degrees of friendliness don't affect satisfaction. So as long as you have a certain threshold of friendliness, everything is going to be fine. But if you hire a bunch of jerks who really know-it-alls, you might not get the same satisfaction rating. Friendliness might matter more.
Which isn't a direct answer to your question either, but we're really good at asking other questions that that evade. So no, this is, you know, it's a nuanced analysis, and it's interesting to see where this leads us. Other questions?
I wish I did know. I mean, we have over 80% and over 80% unexplained. And these are, well, circulation maybe not so much, but certainly reference is such a human-driven service that the fact that we can only explain about 20% based on these human measures that we've done has us scratching our head. We don't know why they'd be satisfied or dissatisfied with the service if it's not related to these things. So that needs to be explored more, too. I mean, but with any survey research, there's a certain amount of noise that enters into the data. But even just the noise that entering into the data shouldn't account for 80% of the variance in satisfaction.
Well, before we get to the end, please help me thank David, Kevin, and Josh for their presentation today. There will be evaluations available online. It's actually available online at the website now and will be open for the next 2 weeks. Remember, if you liked the session, it was the Reshaping Information Services for Students of the iGeneration. And if you did not like today's session, it was the Core Data Service 2009 results. So thank you for your time.
We're also happy to stick around if anyone wants to come and chat.
Absolutely.